One of the three main curses. One was that Daksha will get the knowledge. Three, that all the followers will be stuck in the repeated cycle of birth and death. And there were a few other curses as well. In retaliation of death, who then started cursing? Testing your knowledge here of the past.
Bhrigu Muni.
He then started cursing. And what did he say? All the followers of Lord Shiva will be? Will be atheists. As I said, division time. We sit in Bhagavatam class to actually remember. Hearing and remembering. We have to remember. So there was cursing and counter-cursing, lots of anger. So Nandishwara got angry. Now Bhrigu Muni is getting angry. Lord Shiva. And interestingly, the yagya didn't stop. Okay? So the sense of purpose was there. The remaining Prajapatis, they continued with the yagya, and it went on for 1,000 years. It finished. But the animosity between Lord Shiva and Daksha continued throughout all this time. There was that strong animosity. Then what happened was, Daksha continued acting independently. He started having his own yagyas without inviting Lord Shiva. He held the Vajapaya yagya, and then he held, most recently he had one called Brihaspati Sava yagya. And in that yagya, he invited everybody except again two people who? Lord Shiva and Sati were not invited. Sati is Lord Shiva's wife. Now, Sati gets angry. She gets angry at Lord Shiva because he didn't give her permission to go. She said, "Oh my dear Lord, I know you are in a very exalted position, but this is my father conducting a yagya and everybody is going, I want to go." And Lord Shiva advised her, "If you go, you will not get your due honor. You will be insulted, you will be offended. So, don't go." And he warned, "If you go, the insult of your relative is equal to death." So she was crying because she wanted to meet her mother, her sisters, she wanted to be in the yagya. She was in bereavement, she was angry, she was facing up and down like a pendulum to and fro. Then the anger overwhelmed her. Then she gives Lord Shiva a hurtful look. She disobeys him and she leaves. She leaves and she doesn't go alone. Followers of Lord Shiva also accompany her. She enters the arena on the other side of her father's place, welcomed by her mother and her sisters, but nobody else. The followers of Daksha were afraid to give her due welcome, and Daksha himself ignored her totally, offended her because she was connected to Lord Shiva. Now, her anger from Lord Shiva transfers to her father. More anger. Okay. And she now actually glorifies Lord Shiva in the anger to Daksha. She says, "You don't know the glories of Lord Shiva. Do you think Lord Brahma is so foolish? Where Lord Brahma, he picks the flowers which have been offered to the lotus feet of Lord Shiva and puts to his head. That's how glorious Lord Shiva is. You are ignorant of that. You are attached to your body. You are envious of Lord Shiva. I do not want to have any connection with you. This body is connected to you. I do not want to have this body." And she self-immolates. She quits the body. She just committed suicide. Hard to believe. Okay. But this is Shastra. And now the followers who were there with her, they got angry. And what did they do? They attacked Daksha. But who intervened quickly? Guru Muni? Yeah, he quickly, because of his Brahma Tejas, because the test of the realization of a Brahmana who is good at his chanting of mantras and all that is, they can put animals into the fire and bring out, according to mantras, whatever the outcome is. So here through his Brahma Teja powers, he generated Ribu demigods, thousands of them. And these demigods, with half-burned fuel of the wood of the fire sacrifice, they charged at all the soldiers who were there. And all the soldiers started fleeing in all directions. This news reached Lord Shiva through who? Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as you know, is a stirrer. Yeah. But he always has a purport. In his stirring, there is always a good outcome. Okay. Now, Lord Shiva gets angry. So, in his anger, he then creates this huge black demon called Virabhadra and says, go kill Daksha. Everyone's angry. Father-in-law Daksha, angry at son-in-law Shiva. Daughter Sati, angry at father. Father, angry at daughter. Daughter got angry at husband. Husband, who is Lord Shiva, son-in-law, he got angry at father-in-law. Followers of Daksha got angry at followers of Lord Shiva. Followers of Lord Shiva got angry at followers of Daksha. Everyone's angry. So where's the philosophy? Can you imagine if you're relating this pastime up to this point to a non-devotee? The listener would be scratching their head and asking, so you Hare Krishnas are actually very violent people? There's lots of killing, there's lots of
anger,
violence. So where's the philosophy? What are you actually standing for? And you as a preacher, if you're telling a non-devotee, oh, this is just storyline. Don't worry, this is all being orchestrated by God. By the way, he's a little blue boy, he's a little blue cowherd boy in a place called Goloka Vrindavan. He's enjoying there playing his flute, and while he's enjoying there, he's doing all this here. Your friend who is listening to you by now would have unfriended you on Facebook. I don't want to know this person. They've quietly excused themselves. They might even call the mental asylum and say, I've got a crazy friend, please help him. Put him in a straight jacket. Difficult. It is even difficult for devotees, real devotees, who are practicing. How do you reconcile all the violence, all the anger, all the fighting, where the scripture also says, Ma Hinsya Sarvabhutani. Do not be violent. So there should be no violence against all living entities. How do you reconcile that? Prabhupada says, Krishna conscious philosophy is the peace formula for the world. But where is the peace? There's fighting. How do you reconcile that? The whole Bhagavad Gita is about a big battle called Kurukshetra. Battle of Kurukshetra, yeah? And at that time, philosophy is being spoken. 640 million jivas were liberated. But you tell a non-devotee 640 million people were killed, they will be saying, you are no different from the holy wars out there. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous, and this class, so it's being recorded, I gotta be careful about what I say. You don't know, because when it goes onto the internet, you don't know who is going to hear what we say. So we've got to clarify. The Hare Krishna philosophy preaches love of God. In a setting of various settings, like here, it's a setting of anger, quarrel, fight, battle of Kurukshetra fight. But to understand this, one needs to have knowledge. That's why Prabhupada says, approach the scriptures in a systematic fashion. Study his books scrutinizingly with the guidance of a spiritual master. Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text number 34, who remembers that? Tat yidi pranipatena pariprasena seveya padanshite yanam yaninas tatva darshanaha. Just trying to learn the truth by approaching a
spiritual master.
And then what's inquired from him submissively and render service. They will reveal the real knowledge, the truth, because they have seen the
truth.
The truth. So, the scriptures, Shastra, should be approached with the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada is our spiritual master, Jagadguru. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
And he actually, as I said earlier, he has told us we got to read his books or study his books scrutinizing it in a systematic manner, starting with Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, we got to read that canto by canto, 1, 2, 3. We don't jump into canto 10 straight away. We got to read it sequentially. But as we read this sequentially, even Bhagavatam, we see that there are many stories, events, but they seem to be disjointed. But it all culminates in coming to knowing who God is, and that is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. And reading the scriptures also gives us the knowledge as to who we are truly, that we are not the body, we are the self.
Eternal servant,
we've got a constitutional position with the Lord. We've got a loving relationship, there's sambandha with Him. There's reciprocation, there's rasa. And there's prayojana, there's a process as to how we do all this. So, in taking this journey of Krishna consciousness, we find that from the very first time that we stepped into Krishna consciousness till now, there are little specks of knowledge which are entering our head, our brain. We came with a full canvas of ignorance, but speck by speck, bit by bit, the knowledge is coming to us and it's falling in the right place of the canvas. It's like a huge jigsaw puzzle which is slowly taking shape, takes time. And as we get this knowledge, we begin to understand that it's a journey. It's a journey which actually tells us how, from where we are in Golok, we can journey through all the planetary systems and go through the spiritual world, go all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan and connect with Krishna who is there. And that's our eternal relationship. So we'll take that journey today, and in that journey we'll see how this text today actually glorifies Sati, glorifies Lord Shiva, and also how we get to relate to Daksha, and we get to understand ourselves better. So we're talking about the mode of goodness, we're talking about mode of passion, mode of ignorance, the modes of material nature. So we are here on planet Earth where it is predominated by the mode of passion and ignorance. Yes. We are fortunate that amongst all this passion of mode and ignorance, we have also got some contact by the mercy of Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Lord Krishna. We have got some contact with the mode of goodness. There are others who are in the lower planetary systems who are pretty much in the mode of ignorance. We got the seven subterranean heavenly planets below Earth, and below that we got the hellish planets, more for ignorance. And above Earth we got a few more planetary systems in the material sky. And the closest one to us is called what? Which planet? Bhuvarlok. Okay. Bhuvarlok is the residence of Rakshasas and ghosts. So here straight away we begin to appreciate Lord Shiva, because he is the one who actually gives mercy to the jivas there in Bhuvarlok. His followers are Rakshasas, demons, ghosts, hobgoblins, and so on. He gives the mercy to those who actually are so fallen, more fallen than us, to actually bring them closer to Krishna, to put them on the path of Krishna consciousness. That's how merciful the Lord is. And when I say the Lord, I'm referring to Lord Shiva. And as we go to the next planet higher up, we come to the planet of called what? Swargalok. And Swargalok is a realm of demigods, 33 million demigods. Here we begin to relate to the opulence of the lives of all the jivas in this 33, among the 33 million demigods in this planet Swargalok, headed by Lord Indra. We begin to remember through Bhagavatam as to how Indra, through his puffed up envious nature, also tried to control Krishna, just like how Daksha is trying to control Lord Shiva. And we also appreciate what Nandishwar cursed in the sacrificial arena, where he said demigods will be stuck in the repeated cycle of birth and death. So we don't want to stay long in Swargalok. That's not our destination. We quickly move up. And as we journey through, we are going through the other planetary systems upwards. We are going through what? Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok. And here, these three lokas are where the sages are in deep meditation. And here again, we also appreciate Lord Shiva's presence, because it is at the time of dissolution where Lord Shiva is doing his Tandava Nirtya. The sages and these jivas here in these three planets, they actually move on to the spiritual world. Then we come to Satyalok, the abode of Lord Brahma. We begin to appreciate Lord Brahma in the context of this pastime here. Lord Brahma is the father of Lord Shiva. It is within inverted commas father. Lord Shiva appeared in this material world between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. But Lord Shiva is actually more powerful than Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the father of Daksha. Daksha was born from Lord Brahma's tum. Yeah? So then, as we move again from Brahmalok, we then begin to pierce the shell of the universe. The shell of the universe, as we have studied in the previous canto, where Lord Kapila has described to us Samkhya philosophy, where we study bhakti through the analytical study or analysis of the material elements. And here we begin to appreciate Mother Nature, who is Durga Devi herself, who is in control of all these elements, to keep us entrapped within this material world. We pierce through the gross material elements. What are they?
Earth, water, fire,
air, ether. And then we pierce through the subtle elements. What are they?
Mind,
intelligence, false ego. And that is the border of the material world. We then enter Brahma Jyoti, spiritual world. And as we enter Brahma Jyoti, again we begin to remember and appreciate who Lord Shiva and Durga Devi or Sati actually are. Because in the corner of Brahma Jyoti, we got Mahavishnu, who is actually creating all these universes. He is glancing at Pradhan. Pradhan gets agitated, becomes Mahatattva. Mahatattva then manifests into Prakriti. Okay. But as he is lying in the causal ocean there in Brahma Jyoti, he is actually accompanied by his consort called Ramadevi. Actually, I explained this in the previous class, the last time I gave class. So, in the context of what we are studying here today, I think it's best that I repeat. So, Ramadevi is accompanying Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu, when he is desiring to create the material world, and he is about to glance, Ramadevi understands Mahavishnu's desire. She then carries the glance in the form of time towards Pradhana. And as she is carrying it, she hands it over to a personality called Shambhu. Okay. And Shambhu is actually one of the Lord Narayan personalities in Vaikuntha, who is called Sadashiva. So just like how Lord Shiva appeared between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma to appear in the material world, Sadashiv enters Mahavishnu and he appears between the eyebrows of Mahavishnu as Shambhu. And this Shambhu then takes the form of the halo or the dim twilight of the reflection of the glance that is being carried towards Pradhan. And it is Shambhu who then comes in contact with Pradhan. And when he comes in contact with Pradhan, Ramadevi, she has expanded into Mahamaya. So Shambhu and Mahamaya unite. So when they unite, this Pradhan is agitated. It then becomes differentiated into false ego and the three modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And it is at that time then, from there on, the universes started coming out from the pores of Mahavishnu, the 8.4 million types of species of life, they get actually impregnated. And it is Shambhu and Mahamaya then who enter into material world as Shiva and Durga Devi. And Sati is Mahamaya personified also. So, you see the position of Sati and Lord Shiva here. They can never be separated, they are always together. They have got a very, very important role to play in creation. And in fact, in yesterday's verse, Prabhupada in the purport says, she was so powerful, she could have killed Daksha herself. Because she is
Mahamaya.
Yeah, she's Mahamaya. But all this anger that is being displayed is actually pastime, leading up to what will be revealed in the verses to come in this pastime. So as we progress from Brahma Jyoti, from this creation, we end up which lok now? As we are journeying up, we come to which lok now? Brahma Jyoti, we link up to? Shivalok. Okay, we link up to Shivalok first. Okay, Shivalok, here is where we get to see the opulence of Lord Shiva's abode. Daksha out of ignorance actually says that Lord Shiva has got no permanent place of residence also.
Wrong.
Absolutely wrong. Lord Shiva has got his own abode called Shivalok and he is on Mount Kailash, which is so opulent, and the whole place is so opulent which is comparable to Vaikuntha. It is as good as Krishna's abode. The mountain is full of valuable jewels and rich minerals. The forests are full of lush green trees, kalpa vriksha trees. There are amazing flowering plants which give out fragrant flowers, the fragrance permeates the air. Crystal clear waterfalls which fall into bodies of water where the apsaras, damsels from the heavenly planets, they come and take bath there. Flowers which are actually lotus flowers called saugandhika flowers, which are actually in the crystal clear waters. And these lotus flowers are so special, they give out a very special fragrance. So, so opulent. And Lord Daksha, and Daksha says Lord Shiva has got no permanent place of residence. Ignorance of the elevated, exalted position of Lord Shiva. And then we journey into Vaikuntha. As we are going through the gates of Vaikuntha, we come to the seventh gate and we are reminded of the pastime of the four Kumaras. Yes? And then, interestingly, we begin to witness something which is integral in this pastime. As I said earlier, there was so much anger. Here, suddenly in Vaikuntha, we also see anger. So how do you understand this? Anger is not only available or not displayed in the material world. It is also in the liberated stage. So four Kumaras, they displayed anger because Jai Vijay, the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, restricted them from their service to the Lord. And in that pastime, Lord Narayan himself comes and tries to mediate the whole situation. And we know how it all unfolded, where Jai Vijay fell down as to take the birth of what? Yes. Alright. So, Lord Brahma in Satyalok, when he started creating, who first came? The four Kumaras. He told them, go and create progeny. They didn't listen. They said, thank you very much. We are not interested in becoming Grihasthas. We will remain Brahmacharis. They went on their way. He got so, so intensely angry, and it is that intense anger which manifested from between Lord Brahma's eyebrows as Lord
Shiva.
Rudra. Okay? And now we are seeing in Vaikuntha also there is anger. And beyond the opulence of Vaikuntha, as we travel up, we then come to what is the next? Above Vaikuntha is Ayodhya. Okay? Where we begin to now see awe and reverence, opulence beginning to transform into madhurya, sweetness. Okay. So we begin to see how Lord Ram appeared in the material world to show us how to live life as an ideal human being. And in that process, he glorified Lord Shiva. South India, the Rameswaram temple is a clear example of that. Yes? So Lord Shiva is not an independent Lord. He is not greater than Lord Ram. It's the other way around. So there's a lesson in that for us too. Further, as we travel, after Ayodhya Dham is Dwaraka. Here we begin to see Krishna engaged in sweet Madhurya Ras pastimes with his 16,108 wives. Each of them getting equal reciprocation of the Lord's sweet Ras. And we begin to see that anger is also displayed here as it's getting sweeter, as the love is now getting sweeter and sweeter, there is anger in that love also. Where we hear or we remember the pastime in Krishna book where Rukmini actually got the Parijala flower from Narada Muni. Yeah. Krishna's wife with the meaning of that Parijata love. Satyabhama saw that she also became what she desired, Parijata flower also. And you know the pastime, Krishna has to go and fight and bring the whole tree. Right? He brought the whole tree to pacify Satyabhama. Then Lord Krishna, he wanted to stir up Rukmini. He wanted to enjoy the ras of this anger in her to pull out the sar, the essence of the love in anger. So he says, Rukmini, actually before I kidnap you, there were many other young princes who were more deserving. There was Shishupal, there was Jarasandha, there was Dantavakra, you could have married any one of them. I'm a vagabond, you know, I don't have anything. You should have married them. He was trying to stir her anger. And there was sweetness in that reciprocation. Then we move all the way up, now we enter Goloka Vrindavan. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna himself, through causeless mercy, we get to see a glimpse of what goes on in Goloka Vrindavan. It's very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. It's a place where the little blue cowherd boy now appears. So he then is displaying his wonderful pastimes in the five principal rasas with all his devotees, pure devotees there. And he's displaying his the cowherd boys are displaying sakya ras with him, and he's enjoying that ras. Lord Krishna is a reservoir of all the rasas. He is Adi Rasa. Okay. He is Rasa Raj, and he enjoys all his ras with all his devotees. Now the God in the morning, the cowherd voice and Krishna, the God in the morning is to graze the cows, to herd the cows. And in the forest they are playing all sorts of games. Okay, there's wrestling, there's fighting. So now we know where this fighting comes from. It's there. Yes. They play free wrestling and all that. And they're feeding Krishna. Okay, and he actually enjoys it. Sometimes they tease him. They give him something bitter, but they trick him. They say, Krishna, here's something very sweet. They put it in his mouth and he unlocks his face. They give him buttermilk. He fills up. His mouth is full of buttermilk. His cheeks become bloated. Then one of the cowboy boys sneaks up from behind and punches both his cheeks. The buttermilk spurts out. They have a good laugh about it. They wrestle. They fight. Okay. And Madhu Mangal says, Krishna, don't think you're a big, big demon killer. You can't even wrestle with us. Okay. So you have to understand that your power actually comes from us Brahmanas, Madhu Mangal says. So if you want your power to remain with you, if you want to remain powerful, give me laddus. That is the sweetness of the ras there. There is anger there too. And we see the anger in the Damodara Leela where Krishna got angry because he didn't get his mother's milk. Yes? Okay. What did he do? He broke the pot. And he ran away. Got caught. Got tied up. And after he was tied up, Mother Yashoda went to actually continue with her services. He dragged the wooden grinding mortar between two Arjuna trees and they fell with a roaring sound. All the Vrajavasis, they were in anxiety. What's that roaring sound? They run. And Rohini Mata was there. She sees these two trees have fallen down and she chastises in anger. She chastises Mother Yashoda. She says, you are expert in trying to teach your son a lesson by tying him to this wooden grinding mortar. Don't you know that you should also keep an eye on him because he's so dangerous now? You see what has happened? He could have got hurt. And this anger is caused by Krishna. And we also know the true Arjuna trees as to how Narada Muni played a part in cursing them to become Arjuna trees. We also know they were actually who? Nala Kubera and
Manigriva.
Okay, they were frolicking in the water with young damsels. Narada Muni came by, they didn't pay any attention. And they offended Narada Muni. The damsels, when they saw Narada Muni, they actually then showed him some respect. But these two devotees, they didn't. They got cursed. Narada Muni displayed his anger. So, we now need to digest that while anger in the material world is one of in the mode of ignorance, which Daksha is displaying, anger in the spiritual world is one of love. So we got to now tell our listener who ran away from us that all these emotions of anger and all that are displayed as secondary rasas in the spiritual world, and it culminates in love of God. The Hare Krishnas preach love of God. And we can be angry too. Anger needs to be displayed. If you want to be angry first, instead of being angry at someone else, we got to be angry at ourselves. Be angry at ourselves for the foolishness that we displayed in leaving Krishna. Be angry at ourselves for all the mercy and fortunate blessings that we have got to come to Krishna consciousness, we are still not serious about it. So, even though we are caught up in this mode of material nature, it is not about Brahma Tejas, it is not about Shiva Tejas within this material world. We got to transcend these modes of material nature to the Sudha Sattva stage. Instead of being trapped by these gunas, we need to become Nirguna. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments? Did I offend anybody?
First of all, thank you very much for a wonderful description how you can lead the spiritual world. My question will be that Lord Shiva is serving Lord Rama as born Hanuman. And he burned in Sri Lanka. So that is also the great service.
Yes.
And Hanuman also is part of Lord Shiva.
Very true. So all these emotions of anger, comedy, horror, chivalry, it's all the secondary rasas. They all culminate in the primary rasas, the five primary rasas, and they all culminate to prema. Any other questions, comments?
The Daksha Yagya, do you think devotees have to go through Daksha Yagya in their own life? But the lesson to learn from this is to control the anger and...
The question is, do we as devotees need to go through the pastime of Daksha?
Daksha Yagya.
Daksha Yagya in our own life. To?
To control the anger.
We've got to look at it this way. As I said earlier, anger needs to be transformed to love. And for that we need knowledge. Okay? And knowledge needs guidance from the spiritual master, as I said earlier. And we've got a process. As we start the process, we got to look within ourselves to see how we can identify the unfavorable qualities that we have in the pursuit of Krishna consciousness and the development of our spiritual advancement. And through the knowledge that we are getting through the scriptures, we got to apply that in our daily life to transform those into favorable qualities. Anger, the best way to deal with it is, if you want to actually deal with your anger, first, you got to look at humility. Humility will test what degree of anger you have within you. What I mean by that is, if someone in authority, say in the temple or whatever, were to chastise us, the moment like Lord Shiva we display our anger, it's like, who do you think you are to actually chastise me? May not physically, we may not say it, but mentally we are processing it already. That shows that we got very little humility, a lot of anger. But as we are getting chastised, if we are meditating in that moment of chastisement, that this is mercy of the Lord to enable me to cultivate humility and reduce my anger, that is making advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not like when we're getting chastised, you keep your head down and then suddenly, like the foot of a cobra, the head comes up. Who do you think you are? That's the test. Does that in a way answer your question? Question?
Does that work similarly with respective love? Like when we talk about,
sorry, does that work respectively with?
Similarly to respect.
To respect?
Yeah.
Yes. As we are seeing, or as I just said, Lord Ram came down to teach us how to be an ideal human being and taught us how to give respect. And he actually showed that respect to Lord Shiva. So it goes without saying, that is why all these scriptures that we are hearing, we are spending our time sitting in the temple room or online in our various homes, we are hearing and listening. It is to actually give us the knowledge, as I said, to cultivate these good qualities which make the path of Krishna consciousness easy for us to make advancement and transform and go beyond the modes of material nature. Does that in a way answer your question?
Thank you so much for a wonderful class, how you connected the secondary research to the prema. The question is, whom you started off with, Daksha and the son-in-law and the father-in-law getting angry with everyone. Now, how that particular pastime, just sticking to that particular pastime, is connecting to the prema, which means how do I connect this as a secondary rasa and culminating into a prema, because in the end it was all destruction. I mean, Sati committed suicide, Sati Devi committed suicide, and Lord Shiva,
you're
in Kanda, so
how do I understand it? Yeah. So here, we are seeing this pastime is now escalating. It is gaining in tempo, just like how a book writer or, you know, when they write scripts or write books, they first start with the characters. They build the characters, then there's a storyline. Then from the storyline, the plot develops. From the plot comes the climax. From the climax comes the lesson or the moral in the whole story. So here, in this Daksha pastime now, up to this point, we have seen the characters, we have seen the storyline develop, and we are reaching a point where it's going to escalate, and this escalation, this growth, karma and growth, is going to actually be revealed in the form of karuna and kripa, compassion and mercy. So we are going to see how Daksha, in all this enviousness, all this puffed up nature that he has, and the anger that he displayed, which now Lord Shiva is displaying the anger. Lord Shiva, being Asutosh, where he is easily pacified, and once Daksha's head is cut off, then they go to Brahma, and Lord Brahma then takes them to Lord Shiva. He then displays his compassion, his karuna. And that karuna then also translates to mercy, where Daksha gets the mercy of being revived, and he gets the opportunity to make further advancement in his journey of Krishna consciousness, to actually lead to the way of prema. Does that in a way answer your question? Time's up. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.